Who's ready for the word of the Lord today? Yes, yeah, so am I, and I've been waiting on God as I do. I wait upon the name of the Lord and say, Lord, what do you want to say to people? Before I do, I just got this scripture. I looked it up while we were singing. It was just upon my heart. And I just want to read this scripture. This has got nothing to do with the message, but it's for somebody here today. And that was a great tongue and interpretation that we had today. And be blessed by that. But just scripture says, the Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is upon me. And Jesus referred to this. This is from Isaiah. Jesus actually quoted this in the book of Luke because it was really about him. Jesus said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, for the Lord has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. And then this is the bit that's just resonated with me. He sent me to comfort the brokenhearted. He sent me to comfort the brokenhearted and to proclaim that captives will be released and prisoners will be freed. He sent me to comfort the brokenhearted. That's for somebody here today who's brokenhearted. God wants to comfort you. In fact, I think some versions of that passage says, I've come to heal the brokenhearted. God doesn't just want to put his arm around you. He actually wants to minister to you today and heal your brokenheartedness. Can we just pray? Just pray. Come on, let's just make room for the Holy Spirit right now. Just make room for the Holy Spirit right now. And if you've come into this place and you are brokenhearted, and we can have our hearts broken by all sorts of situations, generally we get our hearts broken because of people who mean something to us, people who are important to us. And because we love, we become vulnerable to having our hearts broken. And maybe that's you today. And the Lord would speak to you. The Lord would minister to you today because he's a good, good Father. That's who he is. And open your heart to him right now. Stop overanalyzing the situation, trying to figure it out. Just let God come and comfort you. Let God heal you today. By faith say, Lord, here I am. Heal my wounded soul. Heal my broken heart today. And God will restore you in Jesus' name. You know, if God is just ministering to you, just lift both hands to the Lord. If that's you, and Father, I just pray for those people who are reaching out to you right now in the mighty name of Jesus. I pray your healing virtue, Lord, your comfort will cascade into their spirits today. Restore them, we pray, in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. And everybody said, amen. Can anybody please tell me what's happening at 5 o'clock this afternoon? Encounter service today. I invite everybody along. And you probably have noticed, you think, well, have we got the announcements today? Absolutely we have. And what we're going to do is I'm going to bring the word of the Lord. Won't be preaching for very long. But then at the end of it, we will worship God with our tithes and offerings and the announcements then. But I just want to remind everybody that we do have the encounter service coming this afternoon. Now, today and next week, we're going to be looking at, and I've been saying I've been going to be doing this for quite some time, but we're going to be looking at the great and wonderful biblical subject of tithing. Praise God. And in all sincerity, I have no doubt, particularly if we listen with our faith ears, put your faith ears on today, amen. I've got no doubt that if we listen with our faith ears, that God is going to bring liberty to people's heart. One of the ways you know you've received the Word of God is that it brings liberty into an area of your life. And I also believe, and I mean this quite sincerely, that God's going to bring prosperity to people's finances. Who could do with a bit more prosperity? Absolutely, of course you can. And God wants to do that. And this is just a two-part message, and maybe I might speak more about it later. And so this mini-series, this two-part mini-series, is part of the bigger theme that we've got going on here at Real Life Church, the theme of that we can live a better life. And we know that God's way of living is a better way of living. And the way of living for God is, of course, part of the good news about Jesus Christ. And so I want to encourage everybody in this auditorium this morning, whoever you are, from the youngest through to whoever happens to be the oldest, that in spite of what is happening in the world today, in spite of what you ever read about in the newspaper or listen to on the news, God's promises to you, my brother and sister, today are still yes and amen in Christ Jesus. God's word is alive, and God's word is powerful, and his word is working mightily in us. Amen. Amen. And so you can live a better life. You know, a lot of times we settle for a life here, when in Christ Jesus we can be living a better life up here. Amen. This is for everybody. Now, although I'm a pastor, and that just means a particular gift that God's given me, and we all have gifts, and Fritz was expressing that a little bit today. But although I'm a pastor, and people have funny ideas about all of that, I get called all sorts of things. Sometimes I get called Padre. Sometimes people call me Father, which is a bit awkward when they're twice my age. Amen. I get called all sorts of things. But although I'm a pastor, I just want to say I'm still a brother. I'm your brother in Christ Jesus. We're all together in this, you know. And I'm a Christian first. I got born again before I became a minister. I'm a Christian first. And so for Rochelle and I, and you all know as well, for Rochelle and I, we do not live under a different set of Bible principles compared to any other Christian. We live under the same set of Bible principles that you do. And we've had to learn, and we're still learning because we're on a journey. We all are. We've had to learn to appropriate the Word of God just the same as you have to learn how to appropriate the Word of God. And so as we progress through this teaching on tithing, I want you to know that it's a principle that Rochelle and I apply to our lives. We're applying it today. I've got my tithes in my pocket. A bit for the first service, a bit for the second. Amen. And we've been doing this for years. We started doing this when we first got married. And as we got married, we discussed our money. And it's important to do that. We discussed tithing. And so today I'm going to be talking from the Bible, but I'll also be talking from a position of experience. So since the early days of marriage, we have been tithing, and our children, we taught our boys how to tithe, and both our boys tithe. And we give all the glory to God for the way he has blessed our lives and met our needs over and over again. Amen. I just want to say this, you know, when I went full-time in the ministry, I took a pay cut it was at least 50% pay cut. And I remember, and all my perks that I had with the job, car, everything, lost all of that. But I just want you to know, we kept on tithing and we didn't even skip a beat. Didn't even skip a beat. We know about the blessing that comes through tithing. Now, a lot of people don't understand tithing because it actually sometimes doesn't make sense. Hence, this is why we're doing the mini-series, to help us understand. And I know that some people are afraid to tithe. And I actually get that. I really understand that. And I don't want anybody to feel condemned if you feel afraid to tithe. That's not the point of this message. But what we do want to do is to help build all of our faith together this morning and over next week regarding tithing. So either way, whatever your position is on tithing, get ready to be encouraged and get ready to be challenged right now. Are you ready, everybody? Just put your faith ears on in Jesus' name. So Lord, just bless us, anoint us right now. Lord, as we just look at this subject, Lord, we just pray our hearts will be good ground to receive your word in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. So I just want to begin today because I need a bit of help. A lot of you say, yes, you need a lot of help. Amen. But I need a bit of help. And what I want to do is I want to build a faith line. And that's how I'm going to start this message today. So I need some people. I'm just going to choose people randomly. Don't refuse me when I pick on you, please. Okay. Deb, would you come forward? Could you stand just down the front here and just hold that? You're today. I'll move along really quickly with this. Could I have patience? Could you please come? And could you be John Wesley? Amen. Amen. Okay. Jesse, could you come? And could you please be St. Francis of Assisi? Amen. Praise God. And Lucy, would you come? Could you be St. Patrick? He was a great missionary to the Irish people during, I think, the 4th century. St. Francis of Assisi was in the 12th century. John Wesley in the 1600s, 1700s. Here's another great man of God. He's Oregon. Some of you have probably never heard of Oregon before. Wally, would you come forward and be Oregon? He was martyred for his faith, and by you holding this is just don't be bothered by that. Amen. 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 Okay. Andrew, could you come forward? Could you be the Apostle Paul? This is going to actually be a long faith line here. Amen. Okay. Mary, could you come forward and be Mary? Down that end. Yeah. Daniel. Yeah, Wagner. Daniel Wagner. Could you be Isaiah? Daniel Toombs. Could you be King David? Okay. Lee O'Day. Could you be Ruth? Interesting character, Ruth. Okay. Jim, could you be Abraham? Great man of faith. Amen. Bray, could you be Noah? Or could you go down that end? Go down that end. And could you go down that end as well? Actually, yeah. And Michael, you're Moses, but you fit in. Actually, you should have come sooner. You come before Abraham. And the final one is Adam and Eve. Ryan, could you be Adam and Eve? Now, everybody, could you just lift up your names? Let's just move along. So we got today. We got John Wesley. So we're going back in history. So as I've said already, you got today, you got John Wesley, 1700, St. Francis Assisi in the 1200, St. Patrick, about the 4th or 5th century. Oregon, I think, died in 185 AD. The Apostle Paul, we know about him in the Bible. Mary, the mother of Jesus. Then we've got Isaiah, about 800 years before Christ. King David, about 200 years before Christ. Then Ruth, very unusual. These people all part of Israel. Ruth was actually a Moabitess who bought into the family of God. Moses, we know about him. Abraham, we know about him. Noah and the Ark, amen. And Adam and Eve, could you just lift that a little bit higher with enthusiasm? That would be really, really good. Okay, I want you to look at everybody. Could you put your hands together for them as they stand there? And this is actually really important. This is a faith line that I've just gone and created there. And this faith line represents the history of humanity. From down today through the Dark Ages, the end of the Roman Empire, Oregon, or St. Patrick, the early Christians to Mary. Who's Mary? Who's Mary? Mary's Mary, yeah. The mother of Jesus. Then we slip into the Old Testament and so on, right down through Adam and Eve. Now, ladies and gentlemen, it's true that Christianity's been around for 2,000 years since the time of Jesus Christ. And when Jesus came into the world, he birthed a new covenant between God and his people. And the covenant we have since the time of Christ, the covenant we have is a covenant of grace where a person can be made right by placing their faith in the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Do we all know that? Amen. We were talking about it from the book of Romans. But our faith line, this is when Jesus came, our faith line actually does not begin here with Jesus. It's really important for people to understand that. Before Christ was born of Mary, there were other people just like us who exercised their faith in the Word of God like we do today. These people over here. They lived under other covenants with God, but these people still followed Almighty God just like we do today. And the faith that we walk in today is exactly the faith these people walk in today is exactly the same faith that the saints of old exercised thousands of years ago. They were saved by faith during the Old Testament. We're saved by faith in the New Testament today. Amen? Everybody still with me? Now, the Buddhists falsely brag that their faith system is older than Christianity. Technically, it's actually not correct at all. Because the truth is, our faith system as people of God actually goes right back to Adam and Eve. You don't get any older than that. From the beginning of time, God has always had those who have followed him and trusted in his word. Amen. Amen. Now, in this line, guys, could you hold up? Daniel, you've let it slip. Lift it up. You're King David, man. He was tough. Come on. In this line, there are several covenants or agreements that God had with his people. Just look at it, particularly the Old Testament. Look at them. God had a covenant with Adam. Hey, God had a covenant with you. God had a covenant with Noah. Remember the rainbow? God had a covenant with Abraham. This is a very interesting covenant. So even though we're in the covenant of Christ, this covenant is also running parallel, and we've seen fulfillment and the effect of this covenant God had with this guy thousands of years ago with the formation of Israel in 1948. So that's interesting. God had a covenant with Abraham. God had a covenant with Moses. God had a covenant with, who's David? Oh, Daniel. David. Yeah, but today we live in the final covenant that won't be anymore between God and his people, the covenant of Jesus Christ. And that's a good place to say amen. Now look at all these people, because I'm going to try and make a point. All these people, all the saints of old, are the people of God together. And we together will be with them all forever in eternity. We're going to be with Abraham in eternity. We're going to be with Moses in eternity. It's not just from here onwards. It's all of us together, because we're all saved by faith. We look back to Jesus. They were looking forward to Jesus. We're all the people of God. And no matter what the covenant was that God had with his people down through history, the people always, listen carefully, the people of every covenant always tithed as part of their worship to God. That's a fact. The principle of tithing goes actually boom, boom, all the way back to the first family. All the way back to the first family. The word tithe is a funny word, and we're going to unravel it. I'm actually getting puffed out. Tithe is a funny word, and we're going to unravel that word properly next week. But the Bible also calls a tithe the first fruits. Sometimes I use that word. It's also called the giving of the firstborn. And the tithe is where the follower of God will bring the first part of their increase or profit, and they will present it to God as part of their worship and acknowledgement that they belong to God. So we're going to go back right now to the first family and look at the Bible's account of the first tithe and see how God responded. But ladies and gentlemen, could you put your hands together for our faith line as they take their seats? Thank you, Deb. You guys were just incredible. You could get an acting job. And the enthusiasm in that faith line was just incredible. Our ancestors, Adam and Eve, had lots of children. By the way, just want to clear this up. I believe in Adam and Eve as historical people. They actually really did exist. I'm a young earth person. I believe the earth has been existing somewhere between 7,000 to 10,000 years. I think that's a reasonable position to hold. If anybody wants to talk to me about that later, you can do. But I think Adam and Eve, from my understanding, from all my readings and research, they existed about 7,000 to 10,000 years ago. They really existed. If they didn't exist, then the Apostle Paul wouldn't have referred to them when he was talking about the first Adam and Christ being the second Adam. They really existed. What you hear from here is the truth. You read something else in your newspapers. That's all I've got to say. Amen. Our ancestors, Adam and Eve, had lots of children. Most are unnamed, actually. Only three are named. But we do know a little bit about their sons, Cain and Abel, from the book of Genesis. And so Genesis chapter 4, verses 1 to 5 says this. We'll have it on the screens. Here we go. It says, now Adam knew Eve, his wife. That meant they slept together. Now Adam knew Eve, his wife, and she conceived and bore Cain and said, I've acquired a man from the Lord. Then she bore again, this time his brother Abel. Now Abel was a keeper of sheep, but Cain was a tiller of the ground. And in the process of time, it came to pass that Cain brought an offering of the fruit of the ground to the Lord. Abel also brought the firstborn of his flock and of their fat. And the Lord respected Abel and his offering, but he did not respect Cain and his offering. And Cain was very angry, and his countenance fell. Ladies and gentlemen, Real Life Church, this is actually the first account of tithing in the Bible. That's what this passage is actually all about. Please note when we read that passage that God did not command that these two guys, Cain and Abel, he did not command them to bring the fruit of their work. It was their choice. They chose to do it. And today, a point I want to make is that tithing still remains a choice. Tithing is not a commandment. Everybody needs to understand that. Very important to remember. We'll talk a bit more about that next week. These two brothers have worked really hard. One with sheep, another with fruit and veggies and maybe grain, crops, I don't know. And then they came. They chose to come to the Lord, and they came with some of their increase or their profit. And they brought it to the Lord as an act of worship to Him. But interestingly, God respected Abel's offering of his lambs, but God did not respect Cain's offering of his fruit and veggies and grain. So it raises a question, why did God respond positively to Abel, and why didn't he respond positively to Cain? Did God have a problem with fruit and veggies? Some of you do. Excuse me. Of course not. We actually see them being used as tithes under the Mosaic covenant later on. God didn't have a problem with fruit and vegetables. Was it because the firstborn lamb was appointed to Jesus Christ, the Messiah? So God was therefore happy with Abel's sacrifice? And the answer to that is no, not at all. That's not the reason. The Bible actually tells us the reason in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 4. It says there, got it on the screen, it says, it was by faith that Abel brought a more acceptable offering to God than Cain did. Abel's offering, which was by faith, gave evidence that he was a righteous man or that he was right with God. And then because of that, God showed his approval of his gifts. What does that verse mean on the screen there? Well, Abel was a keeper of sheep. Suppose that you call them shepherds, don't you? He was a shepherd. When his sheep started a lamb, you've got to remember this is at the beginning. When his sheep started a lamb, have baby lambs, Abel brought the firstborn of his increase. And not only did he bring the firstborn, but the Bible says that he also brought their fat portions, and that's the Bible's way of saying he actually brought the best of his firstborn. He's brought his firstborn, and it was the best of the meat. And this took faith on Abel's part. Please understand this. This took faith on Abel's part. He did not know how many more lambs his sheep were going to produce. He did not know for sure if he would get a good return on his investment of time and energy. He didn't know that. Nonetheless, Abel did not wait to see if his sheep would produce any more lambs and then work out what he could afford to give to God. By faith, Abel willingly chose to give God his firstborn lambs and the best of his firstborn lambs. It was a step of faith. Cain, on the other hand, he was completely different. The scripture says, in the process of time, it came to pass that Cain brought an offering of the fruit of the ground to the Lord. After a while, in the process of time, when it suited him, when he got around to it, Cain finally got around to bringing his tithe to God. After he had gathered his harvest in, Cain selected some of his fruit and brought it to the Lord. And it could have been really good quality fruit, and probably was. And he might have even brought a lot of his produce. But God still rejected Cain's tithe. Why did God reject Cain's tithe? It's because the tithe is always about the heart. I'll say it again. The tithe is always about the heart. It's always about your heart attitude. That's why it's not commanded. Abel brought some of his firstborn, and he brought the best of his firstborn to God because that's how he just wanted to honor God, and God honored him back. Remember, the tithe he brought was part of his worship to God. And worship simply means to ascribe value to something or someone. And Abel showed how much he valued God by giving to God something else that he greatly valued. He gave to God part of his hard work. In a while, we're going to receive our tithes and offerings. And it's money, but when you think about it, it actually represents your hard work, part of your week. We value that. We really value that. So Abel's actions spoke loudly, saying, God, poured his offering. This is what it said. God, you come first in my life. That was the attitude of Abel's heart. And God saw Abel's eagerness to bring his first and best to God as evidence of Abel's love for God. And God and Abel's non-commanded sacrifice blessed the heart of God. Who knows that you can bless the heart of God? You know, we got to watch our thinking sometimes, because when we come to church, and we all do this, I do too. You know, we come to church because we come for a blessing. But the truth of the matter is, the scriptures talk about us ministering unto the Lord and being a blessing to the Lord. How good it would be if we came with that mindset a little bit more often, and tithing is part of that. I'm ministering unto the Lord. However, Cain took his time to bring his tithe. And eventually from his harvest, he selected fruit samples. But there was no faith involved. He's not commended for his faith because he already had his harvest in. So Cain's actions, subtle as they were, said loudly to God, God, you come second in my life. Abel, God, you come first in my life. He was commended for his faith. Cain, might have brought a lot, but God, you come second in my life. So Cain's tithe was rejected because he failed the heart test. Had nothing to do with how much he brought. He just failed the heart test. And the tithe or first fruit offering is always about the heart. Amen? Truth is, ladies and gentlemen, and I've made a note of this on the front page of the newsletter, is God could never, ever, ever accept Cain's offering. Cain's offering actually was an insult to God. And we said, well, why is that? Why was it an insult to God? It's an insult because it is against the unchanging nature of God, Almighty God, for him to ever settle for second place. God cannot be second. God is always first. Amen. God is supreme. In every way, he is sovereign, supreme, almighty God. He doesn't come second. It's impossible for God not to be first. It just can never happen. The Bible begins in Genesis 1, verse 1 says, in the beginning, God. First four words of the Bible. In the beginning, God. The Bible starts with God. God comes first, and the rest of the Bible is an expounding, an explanation, a teaching, and an unraveling of those first four words. God is first. If God is not honored as first, then he does not honor with his presence. If God is not honored as first, he does not honor with his presence. It's how it works. If you want more of God's presence in your life, then intentionally put him and his priorities first in your life. And if you don't know how to do that, your priority should be to find out how you do that. And tithing is an action, one of those actions of worship that says, God, you come first. Therefore, our tithing today should be with joy and reverence of God's holy name. Not an attitude of, just chuck a donation into the church. That's not what tithing is. It's not a donation. It's worship to the Lord. And hence the reason why I often get you to put your hand upon your heart. I'm not trying to be smart. I'm just trying to get us to engage with what this is actually all about. Especially if you've given electronically, more and more as are given electronically. And I get all that. My only concern with electronic giving, and still keep doing it, but don't become disengaged from it being an act of worship. And so when we receive the offering, if you've given electronically, still participate by just pausing to remember this is part of your worship. And God's been good to you. And Lord, I'm saying you are first in my life. So God could not accept Cain's offering because he failed the heart test. Now remember our faith line. Those followers of God throughout those long centuries before freely gave their first fruits, because in some instances it wasn't money. Money got invented a bit later. They gave their first fruits or their tithe as part of their worship. And to remind themselves also that God comes first and that God is their source and supply, not the government. Amen. Amen. He's our source and our supply. So if you want to live a better life, then apply the principle of putting God first in your life. Step out and by faith, give the throne of your heart and will, you know, and your decisions to Almighty God, and God will bless you. Jesus said, Matthew 6, verse 33, seek the kingdom of God occasionally. Seek the kingdom of God when it suits you. Seek the kingdom of God above all else and live righteously. And He, God, will give you everything you need. You don't need to win lotto. Just put God first. Praise God. God comes first. If you've had enough of lack and barrenness in your life, and if you've had enough of being empty, then put God first in every area of your life and He will meet your needs. Is this landing on some good soil today? You know, I really pray that it is. I mean, pray for you already. You know, centuries ago, this is interesting, the early Christians started meeting on Sundays. Actually, it started being recorded in the book of Acts. They decided that the first day of the week would be the day when Christians met together for worship. But God, you don't read nowhere where God told them to meet on Sundays. It's not a command. It's just that our Christian ancestors just chose to put Sunday aside for church gatherings. And we still follow that tradition today. And our Christian ancestors did this because they were celebrating the resurrection of Jesus, which was on a Sunday. But also they were expressing the principle of putting God first in every area of their lives. It's their tithe. I guess they were saying we should start our week with corporate worship together. We put God first in our week. This principle of tithing is not just about money. It's an attitude of the heart. Anybody with me? You understand what I'm trying to say? Actually, I haven't even spoken about money much yet, have I? Because it's about the heart. Tithing of your money, effort and time is all about the heart. Tithing is about putting God first. Now, tithing includes our substance. It includes our increase. Man, who would love that roll of $100 bills that's on the screen right now? Amen. And tithing is about our money. And while my intent is I will speak about money next week, I just want to point out that the Bible contains over 500 verses on the important subject of prayer. The Bible contains nearly 500 verses on the important subject of faith. However, there are more than 2,000 verses in the Bible on the subject of money and possessions. Wow. Could we say that backwards? Amen. How many parables did Jesus tell? Anybody know? He told 38 parables. And out of the 38 parables that Jesus told, 16 of them were about money and possessions. So it would seem that money is a really big deal to God. And maybe that's because of how you handle your money reveals volumes about your priorities, your loyalties, and your affections. Jesus wisely said in Matthew 6:21, for where your treasure is, yeah, absolutely. There will your heart be also. God knows that your heart always follows your treasure. Of course it does. And so our act of tithing says, God, you are more important to me than my treasure. In fact, God, you are my treasure. It's about the heart. Now, I'm nearly finished, but I just want to finish with this thought. Tithing is very, 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 very personal to God. The well-known scripture, John 3:16, says, for God so loved the world that He gave His one and only Son, that whoever believes in Him shall not, amen, but have. Beautiful verse. 2,000 years ago, God the Father gave Jesus Christ. What does the Bible call Jesus? Interesting verses I've got for you. Colossians 1 verse 15 says, He, Jesus, is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. Look at Colossians 1 verse 18. It says, and He is the head of the body. He's talking about Jesus, the church. He is the beginning and the firstborn. Interesting choice of words, from among the dead. Look at Hebrews 1 verse 6. It says, and again, when God brings His firstborn, talking about Jesus, into the world, He says, let all God's angels worship Him. The scriptures call Jesus the firstborn. God gave His firstborn to the world, and God gave Jesus in faith, and God gave His best, Jesus. Before the church was started, before anyone was born again, God gave his firstborn in faith. Romans 5 verse 8 says, but God demonstrates his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. And we've entered into covenant with God because God gave his firstborn to us. If you like, you could say that God applied the principle of the first fruits or the tithe to himself in order to save the world. So God takes the principle of the tithe and the first fruits very personally, and so should we at Real Life Church. And just as God gave his firstborn to us and therein expressed how much he values you and me, we also worship him by bringing to him the first of our produce and the first of our increase and the first of our time, thus expressing to God how much we value him. The tithe is all about the heart. It's all about relationship. God comes first. Now, I'll finish with this conclusion. There are many teachings in the Bible that gets attacked, that the enemy viciously attacks in order to undermine the faith and confidence of the followers of Jesus Christ. And I guess we get used to the rubbish that is thrown our way, the fake news that is thrown our way. But tithing seems, to me at least, to be one of those key teachings that seems to get attacked over and over and over again. There's always a book being written. There's always someone. Sometimes I get stuff sent to me. Maybe after this, somebody's going to send me one this morning. Amen. There's always a book being written. There's always someone who feels the need to discredit the principle of the tithe. And over the years, I read all sorts of books. And I sincerely weighed them up and what they're saying. And I found them to be theologically flawed, but also hard-hearted. And so I've concluded that the reason why the devil attacks the principle of tithing is because he does not want you to willingly put God first in your life. He hates God. He hates you for worshiping God. And the devil does not want you to be, he does not want you to live a better life that honors God. So he's against you. He's against what we're talking about today. And he will try to discredit the biblical teaching of tithing, for he knows that when you're living a better life, then you will be a blessing to others. But the Bible says this in Hebrews 11 verse 4b. We read it already. I think we did. Although Abel is long dead, he still speaks to us by his example of faith. So I propose to us all here at Real Life Church that we let the world's first genuine tither, old Abel, who we will meet in heaven, I propose that we let him speak prophetically to us this morning by his example of faith concerning the principle of the tithe. I propose we follow the example of Abel and bring our best and our first to Almighty God. Amen. Amen. Tithing is a matter of the heart. God comes first. And may God show approval of your gifts as you put him first in every area of your life. Amen and amen and amen and amen. Amen.